This week's episode of Choose Don't Excuse is sponsored by Muscle Donut. Muscle Donuts are gluten-free, baked, never fried, hand-dipped, and packed with 10 grams of protein. That's right, 10 grams of protein. We absolutely love them. In fact, it is one of Judy's absolutely favorite treats. If you enjoy living a healthy lifestyle, but donuts are your weakness, check out themuscledonut.com.
Aloha, and welcome to another episode of Choose Don't Excuse. I'm Jody.
And I'm Judy.
And every week we get together to explore the power of choice in every aspect of your life. And I tell you, the last week or two, it's been quite the busy time in our life.
Yeah, really busy. Fun things, exciting things, wild things. So much going on.
And, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, I often say this, you know, life really does throw you some curveballs. And some of them, I often say that just kind of jokingly. But the last couple weeks, we've really been served up some curveballs that have really caused us to look at our own lives, our family's life, those close to us. And sometimes you just got to stay in the batter's box and just keep swinging.
Well, I was thinking about actually before the curveballs that were thrown, I was thinking about the choices that you and I have been making that aren't curveballs because we've made the choices to pursue them. And one was my choice to pursue Alaska Airlines.
Yes.
I don't know. Have I talked about that yet?
Yeah, a little bit. Yes, because you were starting training. But yes,
Yeah. You know what's really cool about starting something new, guys, is that, you know, it's really exciting, right? When you start something new, it's really exciting, adventurous, just different. And because it's foreign and new, you kind of beat yourself up too because you're thinking, oh, I should know this. I should be able to get this because you've been doing other things that are very familiar to you. And when it's, I don't know, it's like learning a foreign language, right? You're learning something new. You're not going to get it and you're not going to understand all of it all at once. You're not going to speak it fluently.
No.
I guess is what I'm trying to say. And we have to remind ourselves of that. As I'm learning the new jargon with Alaska Airlines, I absolutely love it. And the people I've met, everything, the new programs that I'm learning. But, you know, because I am who I am, I like to like, well, gosh, I should be able to get this right away, you know, and it's ludicrous to think that. And I think that we have to step back and realize if you think of things in your life as maybe for me, it's like if I equate it to learning a new language, I absolutely will have to give myself time to learn it. I will absolutely have to give myself some grace to learn it. I mean, you learned the second language of Spanish.
Yeah.
And doing that, I mean, how was that for you?
Well, and I was actually thinking about that exact example because I remember my second year into my college studies, I was really struggling with that second year of Spanish. And I'll never forget that my instructor said, look, Jody, bridges aren't built in a day. You have to learn and you have to lay the foundation and you have to build all the trusses so that you can build the bridge to a new language. You have to construct all those components in there until you get to the point
that
you
can speak, that analogy.
Speak fluently. And that was good because I was impatient. I was, you know, anxious to be able to express what was on my heart and my mind. And I think all of us, especially when we're learning something new, we just want to master it. But true mastery takes time. It takes evolution. It takes developing new skills. And we have a tendency to be hard on ourselves unfairly because our expectation is that we'll do it faster.
Well, and the fact that, you know, when we think that we're going to learn something faster, I think it has to do with the fact that we might have been able to before know how to do something else. Like, you know, it's like, oh, this comes easy to me, or not necessarily does it come easy, but perhaps it's just a matter of it. I don't know, just really familiar, right? It's familiar territory to you, so that kind of would be easy. But I think the part that's familiar is the fact that you probably have experienced learning something and similar to what you've done before. And so it's like, oh, this is easy to pick up.
Well, and the thing that you said was it's familiar, right? And we forget, once we've mastered something, we forget what it took to develop that mastery, right? And so we've taken it for granted. It's become a part of us. But at the beginning, it wasn't easy.
Right.
We forgot that it was hard and that we struggled and we worked through it. And you know, when we take on something new, we expect us to learn super fast because what we were really good at was easy for us.
And what about those things that happen new in your life that you don't expect, that you didn't expect to happen? You didn't ask for it. And then those things that just happen, those curveballs you're talking about, you know, what do you do in those cases where it's so foreign and all of a sudden it's in your life, it's in your lap, it's yours. It's yours to now deal with, to handle, to navigate. And you didn't ask for that.
No, I think that is probably the biggest challenge in life is that you're walking on a course and things are going good and you half expect things to happen, but you never expect the weight and the impact and the change that certain things bring about in your life. And you know, one of the things that I often say to when people ask me how things are going is like, you know what, I keep swinging at curveballs. Because life, you know, we expect the fastball, we expect the spitballs, we expect all those, you know, baseball pitches analogies that come at us. But to me, when I was playing baseball, one of the hardest pitches for me to hit was a curveball because it's coming right at you. Visibly and physically, you have to train yourself to wait for it to curve. Because it's coming right at you, and all of a sudden, right when you think it's going to hit you, it drops and curves in. And having the discipline to stay in the batter's box and know when to swing, it takes discipline. It takes, you know, experience.
Patience
of waiting for trust. That ball and trust that it is
going to. Trust in yourself that you know that, okay, it's going to end. It's going to turn. It's going to, okay.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times, you know, we swing and we either miss or we hit foul balls. And I think as long as you're swinging and staying in the box and you're, you know, hitting the foul balls, you're over time going to learn how to handle that unexpected. You know, the problem is that a lot of times the unexpected comes and it either hits us, it doesn't break, and it just hits us full force and it stings and it hurts. And our initial reaction is to rush the mound. Right.
And so when you rush the mound because you're just mad.
You're just mad.
You're reacting.
You're reacting.
Hmm. So what Jody was alluding to before in the beginning when we're talking about curveballs this past week, it's like past couple weeks, I guess. It's like, you know, we've been affected by a couple of people that are very close to us in our lives. And they've been, you know, dealing with some very deep, deep, dark issues, I guess I could say. Darkness in their lives.
Holes in their heart.
Yeah, holes in their
hearts. Holes in their soul.
Mm-hmm. Some different traumas that they're dealing with. And it's affected them so badly that it's even hard for me to even say. I'm having a hard time.
Well,
okay, let me get there.
Okay.
Let me get there. That they've attempted to even harm themselves. And it makes me wonder about You know, I don't even know when I was talking about the new things. I guess it's new in the sense of how do you handle when somebody you love wants to end their life?
That is, it's a really hard decision, right? Or a hard thing to face, not a decision. Obviously, they're acting out of pain. And what I've come to realize is it's not that they want to end their life. It's that they want to end the pain. And the pain is so overwhelming. It's so dark. It's so, you know, just weighing down on every aspect of their very being that they don't know how to either deal with that hole in their heart, or they don't know how to deal with the immediate emotions and challenges of self-doubt and fear and darkness that they're feeling, that they just want that pain to end. And it's tough because when you're a loved one and you've invested so much into these individuals, it just breaks your heart in part, one, to see their suffering, but two, you don't really know what to do.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I guess what you do, I mean, a lot, sometimes you don't even realize that they want to do that.
Right.
You don't exactly. realize
until
that.
It happens.
Until it happens. And then what do you do from there, right? But before then, I think the whole thing is that when you don't know, I guess first of all, here's one thing I'm thinking about is like, you never know what people are going through, right? In their lives at all. So to be compassionate, to be kind, to be patient, to be gentle with someone else who might be having a hard day and you don't know why, or you may make some really off-colored remarks about stuff and judgmental things, and you've just got to be really careful. I think more is if we can show more compassion and less judgment, I think that can also help in the way someone views themselves. Because if you never know if that person could be in a state of, I guess I want to say like anguish because they're struggling with something and they really are really thinking, they could be thinking about, so here's the thing. What I've learned is that they could be thinking about ending the pain in that certain way, but I want to tell you that it's not logical. Like it's not,
no,
it's not a logical thing that they're doing. I've heard this before and it really, I want to call it it's ignorant, where I think that they say, someone will say that someone did attempt suicide or completed the suicide. And they're saying, well, they were selfish. They were, you know, they're being selfish. They're hurting other people when they do it. Don't they understand that? It's like, you don't understand. You have to understand that it's actually not in our nature to want to do that logically.
Right.
We don't want to harm ourselves logically. So obviously, they're struggling with some other things going on. It doesn't have to be, a mental illness, but obviously there's some things that are not, kind of clicking together, connecting the dots to help them through the struggle that they're having. Like if I'm struggling with something, I know that I can go to you and talk to you about it or whatever, but not all the time but that's logical, right? But there was a time when I was really depressed and I could not think beyond. And the pain that I was feeling was the fact that I was out of sorts. I didn't really understand why I was so angry and irritable, and everything just pissed me off, and I didn't understand that, and I knew it wasn't me. So I kind of still had my wits about me to think, oh, this is not me. What's going on? But at the same token, I also couldn't control that anger that was in me.
Yeah.
You know, that irritability. And that's kind of what I'm trying to say when others are feeling this way. It's not a logical step to say, yep, I'm just going to go do this. And yep, I want to be selfish. And so I'm going to go ahead and kill myself because that's what, you know, that's logical. And that's what I'm going to do next. That's the next step to helping everybody or helping myself.
It's just better if I'm gone.
It's just better if I'm gone. Now, wait, I did hear that statement.
No, we did hear that statement. Right. Yes.
I did hear that statement. And that's the other side of it. It's not, but again, that's not.
No, it's not a logical thing.
A full deck. Not right? Thinking with a full deck. I don't know how to explain that.
Maybe I think of two things. One, you know, as you were talking about, you know, the couple years that you were struggling with your mental
depression, the
depression stuff, is you would often, you would just be so frustrated and you'd say, and you would tell me, Jody, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be difficult. I just can't help it. I just feel this way. Right. And I remember just going, you know what? It's okay. I'm going to just, you know, bite how I'm feeling, my tongue, and I'm going to love you through this valley. And on the other side, I think there you have the other extreme where some people mask their pain and their anguish with over laughter, over, you know, smiling, just being over the top, you know, cheery. And it's because they're trying at the very core, they're trying to, one, put on a good face, but they're trying to make themselves feel better.
Sure. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just, and so it becomes a real challenge of how do you recognize when someone really needs your help, right? Because I think, you know, we talk about needing to have an open dialogue about it, but the person often doesn't even know what questions to ask. They just know that they don't feel right. Mm-hmm. They feel off, or they, you know, it just, and often it's at the core, there's something very painful in their heart or in their soul that they have not been able to come to grips with or face or, you know, accept and then move past that. And it's really hard when you're on the outside looking at this person going, well, you should just get past it. Well,
that's not easy,
right? Because they're in the middle of it. They're in the valley and you're up on a higher point, quote, higher plane, you know, because you've worked through your things. So it seems easy and you've forgotten in some ways what it feels like to go through it, or maybe you've just put it in a little box and put it back in a little corner of your head and you yourself aren't even facing it.
Right. And then that will come back out.
And that can bubble up in really extreme ways.
That's a lot, I think, of what happens in the person's life if they're struggling with suicidal thoughts, tendencies, is because they've had, like what you're saying, some traumatic situations that happened in their life. They're also struggling probably with some mental illnesses from that. It could be there's depression, there's anxiety, bipolar, borderline personality disorders, eating disorder, there's schizophrenia. There's so many different things that they could be dealing with. When I say trauma, it could be from, you know, things that maybe have happened, well, definitely things that have happened to them. And you don't even realize, like, you don't even realize that maybe some things that you joke about or talk about in mixed company, you might just be talking about a bunch of different things and you don't, I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is just be sensitive. I feel like, but then I also don't like to walk on eggshells. So I want to think of the things that might trigger somebody and you don't know why it's triggered them. You don't know why it's made them upset. I want to think, like, maybe we can be more compassionate just by being careful how we speak.
That's an interesting dichotomy, because on one end, we need to be gentle and sensitive and loving and give people grace. But on the same token, you want to be able to have the direct communication. You want to be able to say, look, I'm here for you. I see that you're having pain or you're struggling. And a lot of times, what I'm seeing actually in our experiences is that when these moments happen, they are forcing that individual to face some very hard things in their life, and they may or may not be ready to face them. But it puts them in a scenario where in some way they have to face them through either medication or counseling or treatment or just somebody loving and being a friend for them. And one of the things that out of the last 10 or so days that has really come prevalent is, you know, I had somebody very, very close to me over the years, you know, call me up and say, hey, Jody, I got a problem with you know, someone in my family. And this is a scenario. And I said, look, I go, it is okay for that person to be where they are. We need to get that person some help. And we need to be willing to go, you know what, Dad, it's not your fault. There are things that have happened that you were involved in that have caused, been a contributor in these problems. But now we need to get this individual the help that they need so that they can move past this and heal. And so it's been an interesting journey, because on one hand, we're getting his person taken care of, but he also is needing the help to go, you know what, I need someone to just talk, and I need somebody to cry with and go, man, what just happened in my life? Because, you know, I've been doing everything I can to be a phenomenal dad, and those efforts aren't coming to fruition like I'd hoped or imagined or worked for.
And I think that's probably it when you just said that. You said, my expectations about what I, you know, am trying to do, and then this is happening. That's that curveball. This is happening. That's not what I wanted to happen. That's not what I wanted to happen for my family, for my friends, for, you know, and then you feel guilty, or you feel like it's your fault. That's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, that I forget that perhaps that loved one will feel that it can be, you know, what did they do wrong? Why wasn't I there, you know, when this happened? And or why did this happen? Is it because of this, you know, XYZ? Okay. So I think when it comes to, and you took it on a, in a different route that I'm glad that you did, but I was thinking more about how you can be, how we can prevent this. That's really where I was trying to head towards. When we can revisit that, I like that we're talking about not only the person that is having the problems and the suicide tendencies, but also the people that are affected around it. I feel that there's learning and growth on both sides, and compassion needs to happen on both sides. And when we talk about the help that is needed, I know that you have to seek outside of your immediate friend, family circle for that help, because there has to be a third party that is objective, you know, that has no stake in that friend group, family group, so that they can give you objective advice, counsel, direction. And you, when you're talking to them, I'm talking about a counselor, really.
Sure.
A counselor, and when you're talking with them, it's they have no bias. They have no stake in either side of the party. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's probably the best thing to be preventative, I think. If you're struggling with some stresses or some things in your life that you just don't feel is right, and maybe you're talking to a friend about it. I mean, I'm a big proponent of getting therapy, counseling, direction from a party that's not within your family group. It's important to be able to sound off to somebody freely without feeling that you're going to be judged.
And that's a tough balance, right? Because, and even in this conversation, we have been sensitive to try to protect the identities of those individuals because we recognize that it is their story. It is also their family story. And as a father, as a mother, when these events hit you in the face, when you're like, wait a sec, you know, you start second guessing everything about what you've done for that individual.
Or even as a friend.
Right. And I will never, ever forget the first time I was ever confronted or faced suicide. I will never forget this day. We were living in Pensacola. I was sitting at the dinner table and my dad got a phone call. And he just started crying, whoever was on the other line. And then he hung it up. And mom looked at him and said, well, what's going on? She said, my brother killed himself. And that was actually my favorite uncle that killed himself. And, you know, we're all sitting around the table. So obviously dinner's ruined. The topic immediately changed to what, why, how can this be? You know, what, are you kidding me? All those emotions. And, you know, my dad's just, you know, heartbroken and angry and frustrated. And, you know, we're thousands of miles away from his family and stuff. But I will never forget how that instant moment impacted our family. And the nice thing about that experience was, you know, after the initial tears and the shock, my dad sat us down and said, look, guys, he goes, I don't know exactly what happened. There's going to be a lot of accusations made. There's going to be a lot of assumptions made. He goes, but all I know is that I love my brother. He was a good man and he had some holes in his heart that were so big that I can't understand why he needed to take his life, but he felt that he needed to do. So now it's my opportunity to wrap my arms around my family and love them through this pain. Mm. And I think that is an important lesson for all of us as we're going through these experiences with, you know, our uncles, our aunts, our own parents, our siblings, our children, to recognize that every single person in the circle is affected. It's not just the person struggling with the hurt, with the wound, the self-doubt. And so you need to recognize that as you're working through this as a family, it's going to take you, if you can find it, you have to be the strength while you're finding the strength. You have to lean into your family. You have to lean into your wife, lean into your kids, lean into your siblings, and be the strength while trying to find the strength. And that is hard to do because you have your own self-doubts and yourself wondering, your questions going, man, what could I have done? How could I not have seen that? Because a lot of times you straight up don't see it coming. It hits you in the face like a curveball. And it's, you know, and the one particular instance, you know, with the person that's really close to me, he called me and said, hey, can you just come and talk to our family? Because I know you've walked this road before. Could you just come and walk a little bit with my family to help us prepare for what's going to happen and what talk about what's happened in a very candid, real way that helps us walk through this. And we have to be willing to have the discussion. And we, more importantly, we have to be willing to put our arms around each other and love each other through the valley so that we can climb through it to a brighter day.
And that's the whole point, right? And that's what you're saying when you're dad was saying there could be accusations, there could be, you know, that actually surprised me to think like, what kind of accusations? I mean, I understand when you feel like there's some self-doubt and wondering what could I have done differently. That always happens. But when I think about accusations, I guess I never really thought like people would be pointing fingers at, well, you did this and you did that. And I thought, wow, that's foreign to me, but that can happen, right? And so instead of the accusations and pointing fingers, I like that, you know, when you're saying, let's just wrap our arms around each other and get stronger together, not only to build the other person up, but to build each other up and to help each other through this trying time, because this is the time when everybody needs love and support, right?
Yes.
Rather than a fist, I've actually said this recently, rather than throwing me a fist, throw me an arm to hold on to hug, to the arms to be held out, you know, outstretched. I mean, that's what Christ would do. He's not going to look at someone who just tried to attempt to take their life and look at them and push them away because, wow, they have no regard for life. That's not what he would do. He would pick them up. He would carry them. He would hold them.
He pulled them close.
He would heal their wounds by holding them close to his heart. And these are the times, and not only these times, but when I talk about what we can do to prevent it, what can we do? That's what I mean about being sensitive. When I was saying earlier about watch your topics, be careful. Be careful about the topics that you discuss and think like, you know, you don't know some struggles that someone might be going through. I think of just because in the fitness field and wellness field, it's like, you don't know. We got to stop the body shaming. You know, that kind of stuff is garbage. It's like, both ways. I mean, I hear, oh, well, you're so skinny. You don't need to do. I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? I just want to be healthy. You know, at the same token, if somebody, you know, feels great about themselves and it's, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that's what I'm talking about is how do we prevent any of that from happening? Here's how we prevent it. We prevent it by opening your arms and just loving and not judging. Let's just get rid of that shit. I don't want the judgment calls anymore. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're, you know, full Christian and just feel like, you know what, I can save everybody. I can do everything. I feel like sometimes it's like we feel so self-righteous that it's like it's. I don't know if the word is painful, but it's that self-righteousness can really be, what is the word? Like, I want to say a hindrance.
It can alienate people.
Yes. Yes. There you go. Thank you.
Absolutely alienate people.
Jody knows that. Sometimes I get so like wrapped up and I'm like, what is that word? Yes, it can alienate people. And then that's when you're like, all anybody wants is to feel loved, to be loved, to know that there's somebody out there for them. The thing is that when you're in a dark spot, it's hard to even fathom that you are lovable. It's hard to think that somebody loves me or that I'm even worthy of love. That's another one that I remember hearing. You know, I'm not worthy of this love. Where is that coming from? You know, I think that's coming from the enemy, in fact. I don't think that, you know, I know that's not God. And why? But then there's those deep, dark things that are going on in their minds that need to be healed. And that's what I'm talking about preventative. It's like, let's just show more love and compassion and patience and gentleness with one another. And so that we can end this. Because you guys, I can't remember who I was talking to, but we're talking about when we were back in high school. I swear, I don't remember that many kids attempting suicide. And there are so many kids now that we hear in high school that are doing that. Yeah. And I'm just like, why? Where do they feel this hopelessness?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was just reading a week ago or two ago about a 9-year-old that had been so bullied at school that he ended his life. And it's like, you know what? And I keep asking myself, it's like, what do we need to do in our home, in our community, to make a difference so that every single person feels cherished and loved and precious? And that's really, and obviously there are people that have self-doubt and they're, you know, they can't fathom their own, you know, self-worth and being able to receive love as well as be loved. And they yearn for that love. And so we have to find a way that we can truly lean into each other and rely upon each other and walk with each other in those dark moments. And not, you know, it's easy to step back and look at a family and go, wow, man, look at what happened in their family. Look what happened to their kids. And man, boy, I would have never done that. Well, geez, I can tell you, in the last 5 to 10 years, my eyes of gentleness and love and just avoiding the judgment, it has just really sank into my heart, because you don't know the backstory. You don't know what brought people to the point that they are. And if you saw the journey that they took, you probably would be applauding them for the efforts that they've made to get to where they are. And we need to be each other's own greatest cheerleaders so that we can all make it to the other side in triumph together.
Sorry, I'm having a...
No, and it's, you know, it's...
I'm thinking.
You can tell it's a very tender subject because it's very close to us. And I think that there are a lot of you who are listening that it's close to you, but you haven't had somebody that's willing to talk to you about it, or you don't know what questions to ask. And I think it's important that we have an open dialogue. Yes, there's the 1-800 number for suicide, but I can tell you that, in my experience anyway, those individuals are not going to pick up that phone number. They're not going to go look for it. But what they will do is they will, in indirect ways, cry for help. They will send a text, or they will say one little thing, or they'll stay up late spinning their heads, and you're wondering, why are they still up and playing music? Shouldn't they be in bed? And, you know, there are little indirect things that are cries for help that are just saying, can you please stop what you're doing? Can you stay up with me a little later? Can you just be with me? You don't even necessarily have to say something. It's just going in and being with that person for the moment.
So that's the problem though, right? It's like you don't know that that's what they're asking.
You don't, and that's the hard part.
Right? So you don't know that's what they want. And because even when you do ask, the answer could be, oh, I'm just doing this, and
they,
you know,
brush it off.
And it's not a big deal, and you don't know. And you're like, all right. So I like this one time. Actually, our oldest son, Devin, mentioned this. He said, you know, because we were talking about some struggles, and he goes with somebody, and he said, you know, this is the time we just need to ask questions rather than trying to solve the problem. Because oftentimes we people, I mean, I do like to solve problems. I'm like, I don't want to dwell in the like, oh, this is the problem, this is the problem, this is the problem. I don't want to dwell with the problem. I want to dwell in the solution, which I don't think that's a big problem. I mean, I don't think that's a, you know, that's a bad thing either. But perhaps when it's actually somebody, a person, instead of just saying, I got to solve the problem, figuring that out, it's like, well, maybe we should delve into more and be more of an investigator. Be more like, you know, so, hey, how's it going? What, you know, I don't know, like just so, or even quick to say, oh, well, you know, that should be this way. We should do it this way or whatever. Maybe instead of that, just like, well, why do you think that was working that way? Why do you think that didn't work out the way you wanted to? Well, I guess, for instance, like, let's just say somebody, you know, didn't do so well on a test subject or something that they did in school. Okay. Let's just say they didn't do good on that subject in school. And I guess instead of berating them, well, you should have studied more. Well, you should have done this. You should have done that. You could have, you know, maybe it's like, oh man, that sucks. Yeah, that must have been a really hard test. You know, how you feeling right now? Maybe those kind of questions, like, how you feeling? You know, oh yeah, you know, let's, I guess explore it with them rather than making them think that, what am I trying to say? Maybe them, instead of them thinking that they've done wrong and done bad with it, just be with them for the moment on what they're feeling. Yeah. And even exploring, you don't even have to explore solutions to why they may have failed the test. Just being with them, because perhaps they failed the test because they couldn't study that day, or they've been having a hard time because maybe they've been bullied that whole semester. I mean, maybe that's it. You just don't know.
Or they don't connect with the teacher. It could be a myriad of things.
So you will find out the reason.
If you're willing to talk and listen.
I think if you're willing to talk and listen, I think if you're also willing to have an open mind and being compassionate. It's hard to be a punching bag, though, and be the person that's like, you know, hey, how's it going? Well, I'm fine. I don't want to talk about this. I don't, you know, it's like, okay, I was just asking, how are you doing? I wasn't trying to say anything about anything else. And you know, I don't know. It's a hard balancing beam, I guess, to walk on. Tightrope. It's a tightrope.
And I think that's the real point, right? Is, you know what, there are so many components, so many backstories, so many things that haven't been addressed or have been attempted to be addressed that sometimes you honestly just don't know what to do. And so I guess, kind of in closing, what I would say is, number one, we just have to love each other. We have to make time for each other. We have to lean into each other and be patient with each other and be willing to grow with people. Yes, you know, as parents, we need to teach and guide and counsel our kids. But ultimately, they have to learn and grow and make their own decisions. And sometimes that is a hard thing to do as a parent, to let them grow and make their own decisions, especially because you can see that the path that they're going down potentially could lead to unhappiness. But you know what? It also could be the most beautiful adventure for them. And they may be following their heart. And sometimes you need to step back and allow them to search, and instead of squashing those dreams and those hopes. And I think the other thing is, you have to, especially if you're a married couple dealing with this, or a single parent dealing with this, you have to find someone that you can confide in, whether that's someone close to you or somebody outside that is an independent third party that can give you objective advice.
I say independent third party. I say you can be close.
I think
close.
You need both.
I say you can be close to somebody. Absolutely. I do. I think you can talk to the person as well. Sometimes, though, because if they're too close, they can't be as objective to the situation and give you another viewpoint. No, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And they're and if they're close to the person, they're struggling just as well. You know what I mean?
Yes, and I agree with that.
And they could commiserate, and that's never a good thing either.
But I guess my point is to be able to have somebody that you can just go and cry with and express your heart to them and go, wow, I'm so disappointed. I'm so in so much pain myself. How do I help my kids? And having that third party, you know, that's outside of you enables them to give you solutions that maybe you can't see because you're so close to it.
Right.
And then so, you know, it's just, it is a delicate balancing act. A lot of times you feel like you're walking around on eggshells. You're not quite sure what to say.
It's a landmine.
And it is a landmine. And so, you know, you just have to do the best you can, get the help when you need it, and you have to be committed to walking the distance together.
That's okay. When you said that, the commitment, you have to stay committed. If you're the one, the loved one, you have the loved one that's hurting, stay committed to that loved one. Just stay committed to that loved one. I mean, I know as hard as it can be, that's why you need the help as well. The thing that you had mentioned about the journey, Jody, I just think like, and I think I talked to you about it last night, is that the journey that they are going through, that, you know, you as a loved one might be going or are going through as well, is probably the exact journey that needs to happen so that they can grow and develop, so that you can grow and develop. I think one thing that we talked, just as we're talking, it made me realize that perhaps, you know, social media is a good thing. It's also a bad thing in different ways. And we can talk about this in another podcast. But to make it positive is that we need to raise awareness. Awareness of that bullying is not the way to go. And then a lot of times the people that are bullying is because they're being bullied themselves. They're hurting inside themselves. And so we need to raise awareness about suicide. We need to raise awareness about being compassionate. We can do this all on social media to show more love and less hate out there. I was just talking to another friend and you know, she posted up something and somebody else mentioned, you know, made a comment that was really derogatory. And it's like, why? You know, yes, you're entitled to your opinions. Absolutely. But when it's tearing somebody else down, is that really necessary? Is that really, you know, yes, it's your opinion.
And would you say that face to face? Probably
true.
Not.
True. Or and if they would, it's almost like, you know, I don't know. Check yourself, yeah. I guess. I mean, that's probably another podcast there. Anyways, more compassion, less judgment, more arms held out, less fists thrown.
I love that. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Hopefully there have been some gems and nuggets here that have touched your heart. If there is something that we can do to help you, please feel free to reach out to us via Instagram, via direct messaging, or send us an email at choosedon'texcuse@gmail.com. We will also put in the footnotes some phone numbers and resources for you if you're needing some help. But please know that we understand and we know and have walked the journey, and we are here for you. And we want to thank you for joining us for this episode of Choose Don't Excuse. Please remember to like, subscribe, and especially share this, because it really does affect a lot of people. So please, please share this message this week.
And know that you can always reach out to us.
Yep.
So,
mahalo.